How many of you came, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you came from a dysfunctional home, maybe where your relationship with your dad was a little strained? You may not have been privileged to come from a functional home or maybe even a Christian home. And maybe even today, there's some men here that your relationship with your father is maybe not just like you want it to be, and maybe not how God wants it to be. There might be some fathers here today that maybe you need to forgive your dad. Maybe you've harbored some anger and some resentment and bitterness for years or maybe months, I don't know. Or there might be some fathers here this morning that need to perhaps forgive your children, your sons or daughters. And I don't know what your situation is, but I know this. I know that God can meet the need, and I'm so grateful to God for this special Father's Day. You know, Hollywood would have us to believe that fathers, they portray fathers as some jerk or some idiot that doesn't know how to function in our world. I mean, really, the world would have us to believe that a real man is a beer-guzzling, lust-driven, money-mad fanatic. I mean, that's the way the world wants us to portray as dads. But God's Word makes it very clear that dads, a godly man is a man who has a heart for God, a man who's been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, a man who wants the wisdom from heaven, and thank God Jesus is our wisdom. The Bible declares a godly man is a man who's seeking after God's will for his life, and someone who has vision because God's given him vision. I'm so glad to tell you today that the Bible tells us that a godly man is a man who's different from this old world. Amen and amen. He's not swimming at the streams of compromise and the winds of whatever the way the wind blows, but he's rooted and he's standing upon the rock. I love several verses in the Bible, and you're not turned there yet, but Proverbs 20, verse 7, Solomon wrote and said this, "The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children shall be blessed after him." And I love Psalm 1, the psalm that said, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Think about it, a godly man. "His fruit shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly man shall not be so." But the Bible says the ungodly man will not be like that. I'm telling you, one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible is the picture of the prodigal son's father. Everybody's familiar, or most of you are at least, about the father in the story that Jesus told, the parable in Luke 15. And the father, I love the way the father responded to his son. Instead of saying, you don't deserve to be forgiven, the Bible says he saw him. You know, the son that squandered his money with loose living, etc., etc. But the Bible says the father saw him afar off, and he ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And he said, when the son said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." But the Bible says the father said, "Quick, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, kill the fatted calf. My son was dead, but he's alive. He was lost, but he's found." And certainly that's a picture of our Heavenly Father. I want to preach today on the subject. The Lord spoke to my heart 27 years ago through a passage of Scripture, and best I can recall, I don't recall ever preaching on this text, but 27 years ago, the Lord gave me this verse. Actually, it's two verses, and it's found in the book of Psalm, chapter 112. So if you find your Bibles, find Psalm 112, and turn to verse 1 and verse 2. The message God placed on my heart to share with you today is this. Forgiven fathers who finish faithful. Either forgiven fathers who finish faithful, or you might want to say fathers who are faithful to the finish. That's the title of the message. And God has sure been speaking to my heart this week about this passage. Stand to your feet if you'd like to. You've been sitting for a while in Psalm chapter 112. We're going to read verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 112. And by the way, somebody, I don't know who, but somebody said that men and dogs are quite alike. that there's some similarities between men and dogs. I'm not saying men are dogs, obviously, because I am one. But they said that men and dogs are alike. Somebody said they take up too much room on the bed. I don't know about that. They say both men and dogs have these irrational fears when the vacuum cleaner cranks up. I don't know about all that. But some say that men and dogs are alike. They never tell you what's bothering them. I don't know all about that either, but I do know this. One daddy said to his family, Father's Day is the only day when he has full cooperation all year long. He tells his family, he says, don't worry about me. I know it's Father's Day, but don't spend anything on me. And he said, lo and behold, the family don't spend anything on him. That's one day of the year, that full cooperation. I heard about two boys that were bragging about their daddy and their daddies. One boy said to his daddy, he said, my daddy is faster than your daddy. You know how boys brag about the daddies. Another said, my daddy is bigger than your daddy. Another boy said, my daddy can beat up your daddy. And the other boy said, well, that's nothing. My mama can beat up my daddy. But I want you to know, faithful fathers who finish the course. Psalm chapter 112. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. Psalm chapter 112, verse 1 and 2. 27 years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart through these two verses. Here we go. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed, and the word blessed is Esher, which means happy. Praise ye the Lord. Again, blessed or happy is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That is, mitzvah is the word commandments. It means his precepts. It means God's law. It means the word of God. Again, praise to the Lord. Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Notice verse 2. His seed, that is his offspring, that is his lineage, his seed. Watch this. What a great word. His seed, said the psalmist, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Isn't that a good word? I said, isn't that a good word? Man, you just let those words sink in your mind and your heart, and you can't help but to shout, praise you the Lord. Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you that you're a father. That God, as even we've heard today, that we can say, Abba, Father, Papa, Father, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we bless you today because this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice, be glad in it. And God, we confess, our Father, that we're helpless and needy this morning. Lord, we can do nothing without you, but thank you that you said, Lord, with you we can do all things, and by you we live and move and have our being. So, Father, we give you praise and glory for this special day. Speak to our hearts. Move mountains. Calm storms. Uproot generational sins. Tear down the strongholds of the enemy. And God, we pray that you reclaim the ground. Lord, there'd be some daddies, there'd see some men here that would take back the ground the devil's taken. And we thank you, Father, what you're going to do. Thank you for every changed life. I bless you, God, for the fathers here. Those that are discouraged. Those that are downtrodden. Our God, those that are just feeling worthless and empty. Lord, refresh their heart today. Father, stir their spirit today. Father, draw us closer to you. We just want to draw close to you, Lord. Father, we're looking to you now. We're thanking you for the blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. We trust you, Father, to help us to continue to be faithful. Lord, to fight the good fight of faith. And Father, we ask now, Lord, for your spirit to deal with the difficulties in us. God, in the name of Jesus, cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. Lord, deliver us from bad attitudes. Father, help us, Father, in the name of Jesus, to just keep our eyes on you in spite of our circumstances. And no matter what's going on around us, I pray you'll give us holy focus on your word and on your will and on your way and on your power and on your presence and on your peace. Lord, we just worship you today because you live and you forever settle in heaven, your word is, and you one day are coming again. So God, we yield ourselves to you now and pray that you'll again fill us up and anoint us with fresh oil. Lord, we look to you and pray that you'll change hearts. I pray, God, that you'll draw men, women, boys, and girls, those who don't have a personal relationship with you. Oh, God, you said the Holy Ghost is going to come and convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And, Lord, we pray now that you'll draw men, women, boys, and girls. And, God, those that are saved, I pray, Father, you'll stir up the gift of God which is in thee. As you said to Paul, to Timothy, Lord, help us to be everything we can be for you and for your glory while we've got time, while we've got breath. Oh God, help us to be ambassadors in a dark and a dying world. Lord, this desperate, Father, to have peace with you and have forgiveness and experience hope and Lord, have that life and have it more abundantly. And we want to thank you now what you're going to do. We want to praise you now what you're going to do because, God, you're good God. You sure been good to me. You sure been good to this church, New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. You sure been good to our families. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us not to be guilty of negligence, of offering you praise. And Lord, you said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Our God, I pray for holy boldness to, Lord, be poured out upon us in these days, in days of darkness, in days of Father God, times of uncertainty. Oh God, but thank you now. You're steadfast, you're unmovable. And you said that we're to always abound in the work of the Lord. Thank you for the men that are here again. I pray blessings on them. And I pray, God, you'll fight some battles for us. And Lord, you know we're not warring against flesh and blood, but you tell us against principalities and powers of the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, Father, stretch forth your hand of power. Put the whole armor of God on us. And we pray, Father, you'll just, Lord, help us to be faithful to the finish. Thank you for the legacy of so many godly daddies and so many godly men. Lord, we don't realize what all you're doing. But God, our Father, we thank and praise you. Your grace is sufficient. And Lord, we just trust you now to meet every need. Lord, there's some ladies here and there's some people here that have strained relationships with their father. And God, there's some forgiveness that needs to be extended. And Father, there needs to be some reconciliation and restoration in families and homes and mamas and daddies. And oh God, we confess we don't know how to fix the problem. But we come to you, Father, and lay our burden at your feet because you said cast all your care on you. You'd care for us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, saving my soul, forgiving my sin. And I bless you now for what you're going to do in this place and throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. We're talking today on the subject of faithful fathers who finish faithful. That is, forgiven. Really, we're forgiven fathers. Forgiven. There's no perfect father. And sometimes we get this idea that we're supposed to be perfect. We're not perfect. But I want you to travel with me for a little while on the subject of forgiven fathers who finish faithful. Forgiven fathers who finish faithful. And there are two ways that dads, we can finish faithful. Two ways that we can be finished faithful. They're found in Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2. The first way is this. A man's relationship, that is a godly man's relationship with his heavenly Father. The first way that we can finish faithful is to make that a priority. our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Did you notice what the psalm said? Psalmist said this, "Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments." Praise you, the Lord. Verse 1. So our first way that we can finish faithful, a guaranteed way, is to continue to cultivate, establish our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Number 1. But number 2, in verse 2, the Word of God says, and we probably don't have a lot of time to get to that, but verse 2, the Word of God says, the psalmist led by the Holy Spirit said this, not only is our relationship with our Heavenly Father of utmost importance, don't miss that, but number 2, because here's why, because a lot of daddies tell me these days out in the community, well, I go to work and I provide for my, oh, I don't go to church and I don't take my children to church and I don't pray and I, all oh, this, I do this and I do that and I provide. Well, that's good. You ought to be a provider. But that's not all. There's a spiritual leadership that God's given daddies, that God's given men. God's dedicated the home to be for the man to lead his family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, number 1, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Number 2, our relationship with our home and family. Not only our relationship with our Heavenly Father. By the way, if you're here and you're a mom, or if you're here and you're single, you've never been married, I want you to know the Word of God's going to apply to you as well as it does anybody else. Because we all have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, I trust. And we all have a relationship with our family. Our home and our family. Did you notice verse 2? The Word of God says, "His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed." His seed, his offspring, number 1. First, if we're going to finish faithful daddies, if we're going to finish faithful fathers, if we're going to make a difference, number 1, we've got to for me, and the main thing for you is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Can I get an amen? That starts. You can do everything else just right, but if you leave that out, man, you've missed the mark. Now, number 1, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And here it is. Number 1, when we understand what He has done for us. My relationship with my Heavenly Father. Praise you, the Lord. The Bible says, blessed, happy is a man. Esher, happy is a man that delighteth in his commandments. Happy is a man that fears the Lord and delights in his commandment. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. How can I be a happy man? Well, the Word of God says, not only understand, here they are, 3 parts to point number 1. If you're taking notes, you might want to note, our relationship with our Heavenly Father is number 1. You might want to note, if you're one of those who like to take outlines, main point number 2 is found in verse 2. That's verse 1, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Point number 2 is this, our relationship with our home and family. And then under point number 1, I like to tell you, because I want you to know, there's times spent laboring over the Word of God and praying over the Word of God, and so sometimes it helps to know how to follow the pastor, follow the preacher as we break down the text and let the Holy Ghost of God take the Word of God and we make it applicable to our life. We don't just hear the Word, but we become doers of the Word. But there's a logical order here as the Holy Ghost gives us this logical order. 3 parts under point number 1, my relationship with my Heavenly Father. Number 1, I need to understand, and as men, happy is the man that understands what God has done for him, what God has done for me. Number 2, not only happy is a man who understands, or woman for that matter, or teenager for that matter, happy is a person who not only understands what God has done for them, but number 2, happy is the man who understands who God is in him. Not only what he's done for him, but who he is in him. Notice again, verse 1, praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and in his commandments. But there's a third part under Roman number 1, and that is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The third part is we need to understand. Can y'all hear me? Say amen if you can hear me. I'll tell you what, let me just stop right there. I know we're on tape and all of that, but let me just tell you, you know what helps me to stay in tune with what the preacher's saying? If I take out my pen and piece of paper, and if I write down what the preacher's saying, it helps me to follow the preacher a lot better. If I don't, I'm not one of those that can just stay focused. I'm looking out the window. I'm thinking about tomorrow. I'm thinking about this afternoon. But the way that helps me to be focused on what God is saying to me is to be involved in the message, involved in the messenger, and that's a part of preaching. I preach, you hear, we do it together. We work this thing out together. And I want you to know sometimes we got to be taught how to listen. We got to be taught how to take in. Because if we're in the habit of just coming and sitting and looking at the wall, more than likely we're just going through the motions and not taking in what God wants us to take in. So I want to encourage you as we get in the Word, and that's the reason these points are made, so that you can make notes. Why? Because you won't pick up everything that's being said today. There's no way possible, but later you can look at your notes. I love to look at notes after I've heard God's Word expounded, and then later the Holy Ghost of God will bring to remembrance things that are said. How the Holy Spirit does that. Yeah, that's right. You think that, well, I'm just trying to, you know, like an 18-wheeler truck, trying to get it all at one time. You can't do it. Write some things down as the Spirit of God impress upon your heart. And then you can go back during the week and you can look over it. Today, this afternoon, you can pray over it and say, oh, okay, now I see what was said there. Now I see what you're saying, Lord. So number one, having said that, I don't say that very often, so I felt like impressed I needed to share that, because it is important. Your job's harder than mine, listening and being attentive and taking in what God is saying to you. After all, we are here to obey the Word of God and respond to the Spirit of God rather than being entertained. All right, number one, so my relationship with my Heavenly Father. Number one, I understand a happy man, blessed is the man, a happy man is a man who understands what God has done for him. Do you understand, friend? Look at me. Do you understand, friend, what God has done for you? Do you really understand what God has done for you? I mean, do you really, really understand what God has done for you and done for me? I don't think we often go down memory lane to realize what our God has done for us in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I don't know about where you've been, but I know about where I've been. I don't know about what you've done, but I know about what I've done. I don't know what God's done for you, but can I tell you what God's done for me? I know I was lost. I know I was a hellion. I know I was a sinner. I know that good works couldn't save me. I know that I was separated from the Holy God. I know that my sins was, and my self-righteousness was as filthy rags before a holy God. I know that the judgment of God, yea, the condemnation of God, was falling on me. I know that I could not save myself. I couldn't become good enough. I know this. I know that Jesus died on the cross. I know this, that when he died on the cross, poured out his last blood, that God the Father, when I come to Jesus and say, Lord, I am a dirty, rotten sinner. I can't save myself. I'm sorry for my sin. I've missed the mark. I've gone astray like a sheep. When I come to Jesus, when you come to Jesus, I want you to know the blood washes every sin away. The Bible tells us that God doesn't remember our sin anymore. He cast it in the depths of the sea. I rode by this week as we took a little time, rode by over by the ocean front. I looked out in the ocean and I said, hallelujah, Lord, my sins. I looked as far as I could see as we were riding down the road, and I said, Lord, as far as I can see, I can't see my sin anymore. It's all gone. I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. Oh, it's cast in the depths of the sea, behind the Father's back. Again, you need to understand what God has done for you and what God has done for me. You know what it is? When I came to him in saving faith as a little child, I was a 21-year-old young man. Oh, I had religion, but I didn't have a relationship. And I couldn't become good enough, so Jesus had to become good enough. Thank God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him
them should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commended this love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I want you to know, in Romans 5 and 1, Paul wrote it, he said, therefore, being justified by faith. Listen to me, friend. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. I want you to know what God's done for me. I'll tell you what he's done for me. He has justified me. That is, he has pronounced me righteous. That is, he no longer sees me as guilty before and condemned before a holy God, but he sees me clean. He sees me imputed with the very righteousness of the Son of God. I want you to know that it'll cause every Baptist to shout. Oh, I've been justified. You see, my relationship with my Heavenly Father, when I understand what He's done for me, not only has He justified me, He's pronounced me righteous. I'm no longer guilty. I'm no longer under condemnation. I'm no longer living for the devil. I'm no longer in the family of the devil. I'm in the family of God. I've joined heirs with Christ. I've been washed in the blood. I've got a home in heaven. I want to tell you, my Father's done a lot for me. Woo! Glory, glory, glory! I got a feeling a lot of us have gotten over that. You've gotten over it. You haven't been thinking about what all God's done for you, have you? You haven't thinking about how God snatched you out of hell and how God got you off that derelict road. You were headed for the devil's traffic and trade, and it wasn't your own good works, and it wasn't your own self-righteousness that had the mercies of God. It was the grace of God. It was the blessings of God. It was the goodness of God that spared any one of us in this place. We ought to be thanking our Heavenly Father for His goodness in our life. We understand. He's reconciled us. Now I got a new relationship with Him. Aren't you glad, thank God, that when He saves you, praise God, He brings us back in a new relationship. And we can cry, Abba, Father, through the blood of His Son. We can approach His throne by and through the blood of the everlasting covenant. We can say, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. I've got a new relationship. I've got a new restoration with my Heavenly Father. Thank God for it. You know, to illustrate the point, to understand what He's done for you. I heard a story about a daddy and a mama and a little boy. The boy was disobedient. The boy was rebellious. He wouldn't obey his mom and daddy. They told him not to do something and he kept doing it over and over. And so the mom and daddy one night, they were sitting around the table, and that boy had gotten in trouble again. And as he sat at the table, the daddy, the father, was sitting on this end, and the boy had his plate on the other end. And on the boy's plate was bread and water. All he had was bread and water. That was it. And he looked, the boy looked at his daddy's plate, and the daddy had meat and potatoes and green beans and, you know, all those good things that go along with it. And he looked at his mama's plate, and mama had meat and potatoes and had good things on her plate. And there that boy sat on the end with bread and water. And that wise daddy sat and watched that little boy until it sunk in what he had done. 10 minutes passed by, and that little boy began to well up with tears. He began to realize he had disobeyed his mama and daddy. And he began to feel sorrow in his heart for his sin, for his disobedience. And finally, after 10 minutes, the daddy looked at the boy, and he picked up, that is, the daddy picked up his plate, and he set it over there on the boy's plate, and the daddy smiled at the boy. Oh, I want you to know, I want you to know, I want you to know, that boy said, now I understand what my Heavenly Father's like. Now understand, He gives grace, for where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And from that day forward, that little boy understood about his Heavenly Father. I want to ask you something. I don't know about you, but I know I've been disobedient to God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. I know I don't deserve God's forgiveness, nor do I deserve not only his forgiveness, but I don't deserve his grace and mercy. I want you to know, but God is just like that Father. When we repent, when we're sorry, hey, listen to me, when we got godless sorrow, the Bible says godless sorrow leads to repentance, and when we feel that godless sorrow in our heart, it's the mercy purposes of God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God, God gives us grace. He doesn't give us justice, but rather he judged our sins on Jesus on the cross, for he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then the Father gives us his mercy, his grace, and his peace. And thus we are restored with our Heavenly Father. Do you understand what God has done for you? Do you understand what God is doing in you? That's the problem of America. Our hearts have gotten hardened, and we've just got indifferent. We've just got apathetic, and we've just kind of got complacent about what God's done for us. We ought to be crying out to God day by day. We ought to be blessing the Lord every day. We ought to be repenting of our sin every day because of God's goodness. The Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. But we feel like we deserve it. And you just let something happen and something be taken away from us. We act like spoiled babies, as if we deserve all of that. And then we start blaming God instead of being on our faces before the Lord saying, God, I don't deserve anything, but Lord, you've been good to me. And Lord, I've taken a... Hey, is there anybody here to say, Lord, I should have taken a lot of your blessings for granted. Understand what the Father has done for us in his Son. That's how fathers can finish faithful. Oh, listen, our attitude ought to be an attitude of gratitude instead of whining and complaining and bickering and griping about things we don't have and things that aren't going good. May I suggest to you today, we ought to have an old-fashioned praise time. That's right. That's exactly right. Understand what God has done for us. Understand what God is in us. Praise you the Lord. Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord. Tell me, do you fear the Lord? Tell me, do you have a reverence for God? Tell me, do you treat God like he's just some man upstairs? God help us to not use such language and such disrespect for a God who is our God. Amen. I know he's a friend that sticks closer than our brother. But may I suggest to you, we've come to a society, we've come to a time in our life where we just treat God like he's a Santa Claus or he's some vending machine upstairs that when we need him, we'll throw in a dollar here, a quarter, and then pull the lever and give me God what I need. But then the rest of the time, it's God, I'm going to live my life, do my own thing. God help us to turn from our selfishness. Amen. I know you don't want to hear it, and I know I don't like to preach it, but brother, that's the honest truth. Number one, understand what he's done for me. Number two, understand what he's doing in me. How can fathers finish faithful? Number one, to understand what God has done for us. He's a great God, hallelujah. Thanks be to his name. But number two, understand who he is in me. Well, who is he in me? Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. And he said, I'll give the Spirit in John 7:16. He said, when the Spirit has come, he'll be with you, in you, and upon you. Now, he'll guide you into all truth. God says, hey, listen, you're not here on earth just alone. I'm not just going to let you do the best you can. I'm going to give my Spirit everything I call you to do, everything I ask you to do. I'm going to give you the power to do it. Thanks be to God, for we are sealed, the Bible says, under the day of redemption. Do we understand who God is in us? I heard about a preacher that was preaching about where man came from the dust. And we're going to go back to the dust. How many know that we came from the dust and we're going back to the dust? From dust to dust. And the preacher kept saying, man came from dust. Man's going back to the dust. From dust to the dust. From dust to the dust. He kept saying that. A little boy came up to him at the end of the service and said, preacher, he said, I hear you saying that we came from dust and we're going to dust. He said, I just want you to come by my house and look under my bed. He said, preacher, either there's something coming or there's something going. I don't know. Oh, listen, Jesus is in me. Hallelujah, he's in me. Well, why? Why? He's in me both to will and do of his good pleasure. Thank God he has not left us alone. Hey, he said, I'm going to empower you. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8. That is dynamite, dunamis is the word. God says, I'm in you, working in you. Why? To give us a heart for him. Why? To pursue holiness. Why? To love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Why is Jesus in me? He's in me to conform me to his image. He's in me to guide me and give me his purpose for my life. Thank God. Praise the holy name of Jesus. The Bible says, praise you the Lord. Blessed is a man, happy is a man who feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments, who's obedient to the Lord. He's in me now. May I suggest to you that may God help us to cooperate with the Lord, because now we've been adopted into his family. Now we've been made bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and in him we live and move and have our being. So what is he in me to do? He's in me to change me. Tell me, are you allowing the Lord to change you? Are you allowing the Lord to have his full sway? Are you and I allowing the Lord to fill us up, to empty us of ourself, to empty us of our pride, to empty us of our self-righteousness, to empty us of our critical spirits, to empty us of our judgmental spirits, to empty us of our bitterness, to empty us of our resentment, to empty us of our selfishness, to empty us of our lust, to empty us of our greed, to empty us of our covetousness? Are we letting Jesus have his will and have his way? I want you to know that's his desire for every one of us. That's why he's in us. Not I, but Christ lives in me now, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, number one, we understand what God's done for us. Thank you, Father. I just want to pause right there and say, Father, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for changing my heart. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for adopting me in your family. Thank you. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Are you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, how can I finish faithful? It's not how you start in this race. It's how you finish what matters. Number three, not only do we understand what God has done for us and we understand what God is in us, but number three, we understand why God has called us. Why has God called us? Men, hear me. We're not here to just occupy space. We're not here just to go to work and go home. We're here to make a difference. Amen. We are here to serve the Lord. We are here by His divine providence. We are here to pour in and to exercise authority. Gotta hasten real quick and simply say, not only, number one, do we need to understand a man of God is, first of all, his relationship with his Heavenly Father. But number two, look at verse 2, and I'll be done in just a few moments. Understand his relationship to his home and family. Now I feel impressed of the Lord to not share with you everything that I wanted to, and prepare to in verse 2. Notice verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. His offspring. I'm telling you, this is a great promise. I'm telling you, when God gives you a promise, you ought to shout, you ought to thank God for it. I'm telling you, you ought to stand on it, you ought to bless God. I'm looking out in the crowd and seeing a bunch of weary, worn down soldiers. There's some mamas who are stressed to the max. There's some daddies, you're discouraged and you're beaten down. The devil's beat you down. The world's beat you down. And you just don't know if you can carry on. Why are so many people in our community giving up? Why are so many people in our world quitting? Why are so many people in our world bailing out on God? I'll tell you why. The devil's lied to us. And the devil's a dirty devil. And thank God, but God's given us authority. Men, hear me. God's given us authority. There's some of us today that need to take back the ground the devil's taken. Amen. There's some of us today, the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. And there's some today that if you'll rise up in the mighty name of Jesus and you believe God, that God will fight the battle for you. I'm telling you, God can move the mountains. And God Almighty will, hear me, restore the years the locusts have eaten. Joel 2:27. He's given us authority. He's given us authority. And speaking of authority, Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Hear me, man. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not my puny might and my puny strength, but it's a God who doesn't get tired, aren't you glad? A God who doesn't need sleep, aren't you glad? A God whose eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. We're talking about a God who spoke into existence the world, and this God said, hear me, if we wait on Him, He'll renew our strength. They that wait on the Lord, what? Shall renew their... You know, I talked with a man yesterday, and he said, man, I got bills, and I don't know what I'm going to do financially, and pray for me about this thing. And sometimes we just forget how good our Heavenly Father is and what God has done for us. I talked with a young lady not long ago, speaking of Father's Day, fathers who finish faithful. This young lady, I said, what kind of relationship you got with her dad? And she was negative about her dad, and she was just saying a bunch of negative things about her dad, and he's not here, and da-da-da-da. And about that time, I asked her, I said, well, let me ask you a question. You're driving a car out there. Where'd you get that car from? She said, Dad bought it. I said, oh, really? And I said, well, now you live in an apartment. Who's paying for that apartment? She said, Dad's paying for it. I said, young lady, you need to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you, because your dad's doing a whole lot of things that you're just taking for granted. And you need to not only thank your heavenly Father, you need to thank your earthly Father. Amen and amen and amen. But I want you to get this now, beloved, and I'm going to leave out some things the Lord had me to share, because I feel like this is most important at the time. The thing of God giving us authority. I don't understand it all, but I know this, that Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace shall shortly bruise Satan under your heels. And I know this, that the Lord Jesus stripped and spoiled principalities and powers and made a public open display of them, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2, verse 14 and 15. And I know this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. And that's why we're supposed to have the whole armor of God. I know this, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, though we walk in the flesh, we're not warring after the flesh. Hear me. The weapons of a warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God's given us authority. God's imparted to us His very life. We need to, may I suggest to you, some men and some of us in our families, we need to take back the ground the devil's taken and just tell the devil to get behind us. Speaking of authority, I remember not long ago, would one of you men go close that door back there, please, sir? I remember something that happened to me, speaking, thank you, Brother Walter, something that happened to me I want to share with you. It happened to me recently. We're on our way back from coming. We took a couple of days off last week to spend some time, family time, and we're on our way back on Friday. I'm talking about authority. We're on our way back on Friday. And how many have ever been over the bridge over the St. John's River outside of Jacksonville, Florida? It's a long bridge. I think it's over a mile, best I can calculate. 1.1 miles. Long bridge, a big river. And we were traveling over it on Friday afternoon, 5:30, rush hour, traffic. And there's four lanes. There's cars on these three lanes beside us. I'm over here on this other lane. Anyway, we're traveling. And traffic is flowing. How many know when you get on the interstate, that's I-295, if I'm not mistaken, just before you get to I-10. But how many know that when you get on the interstate, if you're in four-lane traffic, buddy, if you don't get along with the traffic, you get run over. You better get with it or get out of the way, amen. I'm just riding along, and man, traffic's going 65, 70 miles an hour. And the last two lanes on the other side, there were folks exiting off, and I'm going over this bridge now. The bridge goes up a hill, and get the picture now, and I'm getting ready to go down the other hill. It's a steep hill. Man, you pick up a lot of speed. That black mamba can run, amen? Anyway, we're riding, and I'm going down that hill, and the traffic's just going along with me. Well, right when I get down to the bottom of the hill, 70 miles an hour, right when I get to the bottom of the hill, I look up, and 100 yards in front of me is a state trooper parked on the access lane right next to the median. And there's a concrete wall. The car is right next. You know that emergency lane? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Shake it if you know what I'm talking about. That emergency lane right there. He's 100 yards in front of me. I'm coming down the hill going 70 miles an hour. He's 100 yards. He steps out in the road and points right there to me. What do you do when a state trooper points like that? You do what he says. I had to break that baby down. Man, I didn't know how to be able to stop. 7 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, a state trooper's in the middle of the road with four-lane traffic. Have you ever seen such? But I want to tell you, that's a 175-pound man up against a 4,000-pound vehicle and telling that 4,000-pound vehicle to stop. Brother, that's authority. That's authority. He said, stop. I didn't know what was going on. I pulled off the side of the road and cars were shoo, 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 shoo. I could have stuck my hand out. My hand would have been taken that close off the side of the road. A embankment, a concrete embankment. And the state trooper comes over to the window. I rolled the window down. He said, sir, got right in my face. He said, sir, did you see those three signs up there? He said the speed limit changed from 50, from 65 down to 55, sir. You went three signs up there, sir. Do you see those signs? I just went, signs of the time, maybe, but I didn't see signs. Signs, what are you talking about? He got that radar and he crammed it right in my face. He said, sir, I clocked you going 70 miles an hour, sir. Did you see those three signs you just passed? I thought about Jesus. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Shoo, shoo. Cars are flying right by me, and he's standing right here by the window, and he said, sir, do you want me to give you a ticket for $504, or sir, you think you can slow it down? I said, I can slow it down, sir. I want you to know that is grace. That is grace. I didn't get what I deserved. Glory! Glory! And you know, after we got back on the road and started speeding up, I said, I got to stop. I got to use the restroom. Amen. That was grace. God's grace. But I want you to know that's authority, brother. That's authority. And men, look at me. God's given us authority. God's given us authority over our home. Will there be any men, any folks today say, hey, I know the devil's tried to cause confusion in my home. I know the enemy has tried to cause a wall and a wedge between me and my children, between me and my family. And I'm going to ask God to tear down the wall and rebuild it in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to believe God to fight this battle for me. Is there anybody here as we stand to our feet?